When Lucent Technologies was sliding toward bankruptcy, it fired so many employees that the company notified them by mail. The story we're about to tell begins on the day that Dan Bauer's letter arrived.
The third Thursday, every other month or whatever, they would send out letters.
So it was even on a schedule. People knew.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, nobody wanted to go to the office on the third Thursday of the month.
This weekend, we've been listening to some of the 3 million Americans who've been laid off since the year 2000. The point isn't just that they lost their jobs. The point is what comes after, how they try to move on. I went to North Carolina, where textile mills, technology firms, and many others have been firing workers. Yesterday, we met a former furniture worker and an airline employee who were going back to school. Dan Bauer worked in telecommunications. Now he's selling insurance. He invited us up to his new office. It's in his backyard on the second floor of a barn.
And I did all this all by myself.
He started putting up drywall in this barn during his idle time. He's working at a desk he made out of 2x4s. Dan Bauer is a tall man whose goatee is just starting to go gray. When he worked for Lucent, he was a sales engineer.
You might have seen like cabinets when you came in on the side of the road. Those are full of telephone equipment. I would sell those type of cabinets.
Until January 2002, we designed communications networks, choosing the right mix of cables and routers and junction boxes for each individual client. Then the clients started going out of business. Telecom companies laid so many cables in the 1990s that there may be enough capacity to last for years. After Lucent fired him, Bauer couldn't find another job.
Really, there's nobody who needs the skills that I have. It's I don't know, like if you went out and bought a stereo system, you'd go out there and you'd pick a CD player, cassette deck, a turntable, or whatever. Once you have it, you know, you don't need any more help. You know what I'm saying?
Like many refugees from the boom economy of the 1990s, Dan Bauer is not broke. Back when he was making a lot of money, he saved a lot of money. He paid off his debts. Between unemployment benefits and savings, he's keeping up with his bills now. He thinks he could hold out for 2 years if he had to. He's trying to answer a larger question, how to spend the rest of his life. Though he got his insurance salesman's license, he really wants a job like the one he had at Lucent for 17 years.
I don't want to take a job making very good money and then work there for 6 months or whatever and find a better paying job. I want to just find a good job and stay there and work another 10 or 15 years, whatever. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to try to hop around, but I don't know if that's going to happen or not.
Well, I'm going to ask you about that because one lesson of this could turn out to be that you got no choice but to jump around, to completely adjust your way of thinking.
Yeah, that's very possible. I don't like that idea. I like to feel stable what I'm doing and see a career path with wherever I'm working. But I don't think in today's economy that's going to happen.
Drive around the city of Greensboro and you can see the way that North Carolina's economy has changed. You drive up Yanceyville Street to a dead textile mill. Through a window, you can see a bare floor stretching off into the darkness.
It's like 101 years old.
Alice Johnston manages the enterprise that now occupies a portion of this mill. The Greensboro Business Incubator is run by a nonprofit company. It provides cheap office space to people starting their own businesses.
We have approximately 57 companies in the building right now. And we have, this is what we call our workroom.
Business owners in this building are running an internet radio station, selling gourmet coffee, and making jewelry. Several started their businesses after losing their jobs. And that includes the two guys who work in an office toward the back, behind a door labeled Down the Line Incorporated. Tony Paparo is a former golf teacher who developed a new putter along with his friend Bob. They had nothing else to do.
Bob was a plant manager at the time and basically had done so well for his company that they were able to downsize him. And then, of course, this was right before 9/11, and when 9/11 happened, my teaching and sports psychology business sort of really shrunk.
His clients economized by abandoning their golf lessons. Tony Paparo wears a golf shirt and regards visitors with a gentle smile. He keeps a strip of artificial turf on the floor of the office so you can test the product that he and his partner patented. You face the hole instead of standing sideways. You hold the putter in just one hand and let it dangle at your side, and then you swing.
We've created the most ergonomically sound and mechanically efficient putting stroke available.
Can I see you demonstrate that?
Sure.
It's okay, the pressure's on.
Oh, no, it's. I've got to make sure I aim enough to the right because there's a break here.
Oh! Just slipped out.
A short period of time after we got started on this process, I knew it would work, and I knew it could revolutionize the way golfers putt. So the opportunity to be not only develop a tremendous income from this, but also to be recognized as somebody who's had a major impact on the game is very compelling.
Starting a business, you don't have a lot of money coming in right away.
You're right. We've lived, Bob has basically taken all of his money out of his pension, and I've taken most of mine. So we've basically invested our futures in what we're doing right now.
Can you give me an idea of how much money that is?
I'm not sure about Bob, but for me it was like $240,000.
And you've spent all that money?
I mean, yes.
It's not like it's in another account someplace.
No. It's gone.
What is it gone for?
What did it go for?
Yeah.
Living expenses and whatever expenses we needed for this company. Attorneys are very expensive. I mean, you have to apply for patents and trademarks. We have trademark on our name, patents on our putter, putting method, assembly process, hiring a marketing firm. So we've spent a lot of money.
How old are you, if I can ask?
53.
53? And are you responsible for anybody? You
got? No.
Okay.
My children are both grown.
What?
Now, Bob is married and is responsible for, he still has a child at home.
Has he had a few more stomach pains over this than you have?
I know he's got a lot of stomach pains right now because, you know, he's going, now, how am I going to pay my bills next month?
You said he's just about gone through his retirement.
Oh, yeah, he has. He's got money till the end of this month. We'll figure something out. You always do. You can't worry about it. You know, there's a lot of people that, as they've seen us go through it, they question our sanity, and I'm going, I have no regrets, I have no concerns, I know it's going to work, and that I'm going to be where I want to be in a very short period of time.
Rather than look for a steady job that may no longer exist, Tony Paparo was betting almost everything on this one shot.
You mind if I take
it? Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you. Wow, it's heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Like this, about
yep,
like that?
Mm-hmm. Almost. That was very good putting stroke.